tell you what, you thought Charles was long-winded this morning. I brought a book that I wrote, guys. So we're gonna talk about some scriptures today. So good to be here tonight to be able to sing songs, to worship God, to understand the fullness of the love that He gave us. We're going to talk tonight quite a bit about forgiveness and mistakes and forgiveness that we have in our lives. So I was going to start off with something different, and then I heard this song the other day, and I thought, you know, I used this with my youth group a long time ago. Thought it'd be a good thing to use again. So this song is called Lucy, is the name of this song. And this band that plays it is a Christian rock band. And I've heard this song a lot, and I really like it. It's I didn't really understand very much about it. So I looked into it to find out what it's about. Well, it starts out by saying, "Hey, Lucy, I remember your name." And then he says, "I left a dozen roses on your grave today." Listen to it several different times trying to figure out what was going on. So I did some studying up on it to try to find out what took place with this song, what took place in these people's life for them to be there. So come to find out, when they was young, they was the guy and his girlfriend was just young adults. They had a child, or was going to have a child. She became pregnant, and they decided the best thing for their careers would be to have an abortion. Well, they had the abortion. They went on and they became married, became very successful, became singers. Everything was good, but they couldn't get past the fact that they had this child that they didn't allow to be born. And they just, everything was great in their lives except for this, and they couldn't get over it. It just kept going back to that. So they went, and they went and saw counselor after counselor, trying to make things correct for themselves, and really never could get things going. Till they met that guy, the man that helps you to understand about forgiveness, how to forgive. So they started studying up about Jesus, and they figured out some things, and they became baptized into Christ. And once they become baptized into Christ, they said, "We need to have a funeral for our unborn child." So they had a funeral, and they go to the grave, and they put out flowers, and they talk to her at the grave. It's a way of coping, is what it is for them. Well, you know, they couldn't understand it at the time. They had no idea what to do or anything. But then they found Jesus, and he showed them the way, what they needed to do. So how he sings the song, I couldn't tell you. It's bum fuzzling to me. But Jesus helps us all with this gift that he gave each of us. Each of you have that same gift that he gave to them. So if you have a Bible, open up to Romans chapter 3, and we'll be reading verse 23 through 24. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." You see, we just talked about this, so they figured it out, and we figure it out right here. We have what to back it up? Scripture. That's what we need. We need this scripture to understand, to help us back up everything that we do. So everything that I'm going to tell you, I'm going to back it up with scripture and let you see what takes place here. So this morning, Charles, he talked to us about Saul. And it was Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. I know you guys realize that Saul was a bad guy. And you look at him and you go, "Yeah, that guy was a bad guy. He did this and he did that and he did this and he did that." We're going to get into that a little bit more and kind of understand where he was at a little bit more, hopefully, by the time that this lesson's over, where he was at as that bad guy. So, and you'll look at it into a little bit different view than what we generally kind of see in that situation. But Paul knew what it was like to be a sinner. There's no doubt, because he looked back on his life. And he changed. He turned it all over. He turned it over to Christ Jesus. He didn't turn it over to some man's word, to somebody else's word. He turned it over to Christ, and he became Christ-like after that. We'll read scripture where we understand that and know that. And then he shows us all that mistakes can be overcome by obedience in Christ, which leads to righteousness. And if you got a pen and you want to write that down, that's in Romans 6:16, if you want to look that up later for yourself. Also, the next scripture that we're going to read here is Romans 8:37-39. Romans 8:37. Know in all these things that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You understand what a conqueror is, don't y'all? It means you've overtaken something. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Paul's convinced. There is not any doubt in his mind. And you guys need that convincing? You don't have to be convinced. You should have all that. No doubt in your mind that Christ will not leave you. He has that. There is no doubt in his mind when you read that, that Christ will not leave him. You can understand that fully. Romans 12:1, he said, I, Paul, urge you to be living sacrifices to God. I, Paul, urge you to be living sacrifices to God. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the examples of Christ. Olivia, you should know that, right? Because we worked on that this morning, correct? We talk about that all the time. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Stand firm and let nothing move you. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. What does that mean to you guys? Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It means you're putting out, we're putting effort in is what we're doing to the work of the Lord is what that's talking about. Excuse me, my throat's dry. 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you'd like to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God took away our sins through the death of Christ. Is that gathered up? Registers up there? I hope it does. It's not too difficult. Nothing can move you. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, right? Stand firm. Let yourself not be moved. How come? Because God took away our sins through the death of Christ. He did that for us, right? So stand firm in what you do. Hold tight to that. Don't allow nothing to separate you from that. Paul told us earlier that nothing can separate God from us, right? So God's not going to leave you. We're the only ones that can change that. We reverse that role by us leaving him. But you always are able to come back if you have time in this life. You will have that opportunity to come back to that. Galatians 3:26. This is something that I always go to and I always love to go to and I love to look at. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You should think of yourself as God's child. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now listen to this. I'm going to make this as simple as you possibly can make it. They had a grandson right over here. He likes to wear his ball cap backwards. And he gets mad when you take it off. But he has this blanket that he likes. And it doesn't matter if it stinks. It doesn't matter if it's got throw up on it. It doesn't matter if it's wet. It doesn't make no difference. If you give it to him, it comforts him. You hand it to him and you lay him down on the bed. He knows it's bedtime. He puts the blanket up and he's going to bed. It's ready. It's time for that. That's his comfort. So he's in his comfort zone when he has that. So when he lays down to go to sleep, he's ready. This is what I want you to understand. So, knowing what we just read right here, you have all clothed yourselves with Christ when you were baptized into Christ. So, having Christ in your life makes you feel like this blanket makes the child feel. You have this comfort for yourself of that. So, you realize that and you understand that. You have that go-to for yourself. Whether it's if you drink coffee and you got to have creamer in it, or if you drink tea and you got to have 5 cups of sugar in it. I got a boy back there that would drink it. He calls it diabetes tea is what he calls it. This is diabetes tea. whatever it is that's your comfort in your life, Christ is better than that. And that's what you need to understand for sure. Acts 4:12 tells us that salvation is found in no one else. Christ is the only way. You got to understand that. He's your blanket. Paul told the church in Galatia that the church in Judea, when he wrote the letter to him, he says the church in Judea only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted them is now preaching the good news. Guess what happened? Guess what the church did? This is what's important to us. This is what we need to understand. They praised God for him. That's what took place then. They praised God for Paul, which was Saul that Charles talked about this morning, this guy. So I got one more story for you, and this story is going to close this in and make you understand this so much more of the type of person that the Apostle Paul was when he was Saul. So I watched this documentary, and this is a true story of an Afghanistan man. And his job was to kill Christians. It was to murder you, your children. That's what his job was. He would go to work every day, and then he would come home, and he would meet his children. They would go play soccer, just like what we do with our kids. Go play football. Go do whatever it is. He sat down and read books with them at the table, just like it was nothing. He said to murder a Christian to him was like for us to walk outside and step on an ant that was crawling into our doorway, or to crush a spider in your house, or to kill a cockroach. He said that's what he was brought up and taught how we was supposed to do for them. This is what he's saying. He said, that's how I was brought up, and this is what I was trained into. And I thought, man, that's sad that's what he was taught, and that's what he was showed. So he went through this Quran, this book of this Quran, and that's all he knew his whole life. He was taught from this young age. And when he sat down at the table, he taught his children the same thing. You hate them. You hate the Christians. You can't tolerate them. They're worthless. They're pigs. They're dirt. They're trash. They're no good. That's what he was taught, though. Same way with the Apostle Paul, which was Saul at that time. This is the way it's supposed to be, and this is what you do. That's what he was taught, and that's what he did to the fullest of his ability. Until he met that man that we talked about earlier. The one that teaches, what is it? Forgiveness, right? So he showed us this forgiveness until he met that man. So this guy, he meets a guy, and this guy, before he dies, before he kills him, he goes, will you let me at least talk to you? And he goes, whatever. You can say what you want to. So he preaches to him the gospel. Well, he's like, wonder where that's at. Well, I'm going to look into that. So he goes home and he looks into it and he goes, hey, there was something about that. They're telling us this and saying that this is not true. I'm going to look into this more. So the guy looks into it more and more and more and more. And then he says, hey, I've been living my life wrong. Something's bad wrong with what I've been doing. So he becomes baptized into Christ, changes his name, changes his family's name, moves his kids away, comes to America. He lives in America. Wouldn't show his face. Didn't say what his name was. I don't blame him. I wouldn't have wanted my name to be shown, and I wouldn't have wanted that to be known either. He comes here, and the question that I have for you is, that guy murdered numerous people. He killed numerous brothers and sisters of ours. How do you feel about him? You hated him a while ago. You was like, oh, I can't stand him. But now you found out that he became baptized into Christ, and you're still on the border. You're like, man, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. That's in our time. This is our time right here that we're talking about, not way back in the Bible. So we can forgive the Apostle Paul for what he did, because it was way back then. We can say, oh, it's easy to forgive that. It's not so easy to forgive that. But you do understand that in Galatians chapter 3 in verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So the guy's a brother to us in Christ now. So something that we have to understand. And is he sorrowful for it? Man, he seemed to be genuine to me. But, you know, I can't judge that. It's not my responsibility to do that. God will judge him on his day, as he will each one of us. We'll get our judgment for everything that we've done and how we are. So we understand now that we have this freedom from the slavery of sin that we once had through Christ. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and read verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do you look back at Paul's life that we was talking about earlier? Imagine what he went through thinking about the things that he did. Thinking about these things that was bad in his life and what took place to him. So the man and the woman that we talked about earlier this at the start of this service that goes to the grave and talks to their daughter that was unborn. They knew they made a terrible mistake with the abortion, but they had somebody to come and help them. The Afghan man knew he was wrong in killing Christians after he figured it out. He didn't understand it before, but when he figured it out, he realized he made a terrible mistake. The Apostle Paul done the same thing. He knew he was wrong for his persecution of Christianity. He knew he was wrong for that, and he changed, and he never went back to that. He was always going to preach for Christ. He was always stretching and reaching a goal to help everyone, pull them closer to Christ. Never quit doing it. The guy that I watched the documentary on said, I will never go back to that. I'm always going to preach and teach anyone that I can about this Jesus Christ that I understand now saves and helps people. And for that, you got to understand that there's something good about Christianity. There's something good about Jesus. That's He helps you to get through these situations. Philippians 4 and 13, Paul says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I know y'all realize he's talking about Christ, right? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 15, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Whatever it is, however you reach the conclusion to be with Christ, hold on to it. Don't allow that grasp to let go. You make sure that you do your part by hanging on to it and keeping Christ close to you in whatever you do. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us by His grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage, He didn't say encourage Russell's heart, He said encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So stay strong in the Word. You need to understand, stay strong in the Word. That was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy. Right over a couple pages. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture comes from Russell. No! All Scripture comes from God. You got to understand that. Everything that's wrote down is not something that I'm telling you because I want you to do it, because I want you to be this way. No, all Scripture is God-breathed. That means that everything that we have here come from God. These individuals wrote it with their hands, as Russell is able to come up here and read it and show you that it came from God. So, didn't come from me, come from God. Everybody understands that. All Scripture comes from God. The mistakes that we once made, Christ took them and put them on His shoulders. So, we should approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, each of you has that time of need. Each of us has made that mistake in our past. That's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, by the way. Each of us has made a mistake. We might have something in our past that kind of drags us back that we think about and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. But you don't have to worry about that because we have that guy that puts us everything on His shoulders to tote that for us, so we don't have that no more. We don't forget. Christ forgives and He forgets also. He takes it upon, and that's what he took it on for. But we try to remember and keep it all in. I want to talk to y'all a little bit more about a couple of other people here. And, you know, we've been talking quite a bit about the Apostle Paul here. We've read scripture after scripture that he has written. Let's look at James chapter 1 right quick. James chapter 1 in verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." What? Pure joy when you face trials of many kinds? That's hard to do, isn't it? Listen up. "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So, James knows when you persevere, you gain wisdom, you gain knowledge, maturing in all that you do and all that you say. Mistakes that you've made in the past, you mature from them. You learn from them. Everything that you do, you're never too old and never too young to learn something new in a day. Heard that a while ago. Del Juan, we was talking about some different stuff, and he goes, "Well, I never knew that. I don't know how. You might not want me to ask how old you are. I'm not going to do that, Del Juan, to you." But that's something. If you listen and pay attention, you will learn something every day. That is a proven fact. Let's talk about Peter. Let's move over to Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's read 3 through 5. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." That's, let's read 5 too. "Who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 4, "And into an inheritance that never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." You think Peter knows of this new hope? Peter understood that man, that salvation, that man that puts sins on his shoulders for him. He knows the man who teaches us how to forgive. Guarantee you. Now, that's powerful writing right there. That's powerful understanding. That's powerful reading. That's something that you want to have because you understand that this place is supported by Christ dying for you. It's supported by His Father God, this place that we have that we're allowed to go to because He died for our sins. Another guy, let's move right on down the road down here and let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome." Y'all catch that? Really listen to that. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." John knew how to overcome the world, didn't he? See, and you need help with that? Go to John. Ask John, "How did you overcome the world, John?" It's right there in Scripture. All you got to do is open up and you got to read it. Move over. We'll go to Jude. Jude was a letter that was going to be this uplifting deal, but then he get into it and he's like, I got to tell you what you need to do. I'm going to have to talk to you. We're going to have to understand some things. Jude, verse 17. "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own godly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. We talked about that a while ago, didn't we? That place is there for us, correct? Everybody understands that? Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Jude urges us to stay the course, to finish the race. Sometimes it gets difficult. To finish up for us, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. This is called the Great Commission. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and he said, this is after he died and he was resurrected. He came back to Peter and the rest of them and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We talked about that earlier, how Christ doesn't leave us, how Paul knew and understood that he doesn't leave us. What did he tell his apostles right here? What did he tell his disciples? He said, I will be with you to the very end of the age, right? He's with us always. You're the only one that can pull away from that. You grab a hold and you take hold tight. Don't allow that to let go. Never. Don't ever allow that to let go. So, we understand that all authority in heaven and on earth was given to Christ. He's our overseer. He's our helper. He does what we need. He's there for us. He's there to tote our sins. He's there to take control of us, to help us get through these times, these struggles, whatever it is that we have in our lives. But he also told us to do what? Go out into the world, preach and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, is what he told us to do. So we have that goal set aside for us. We have that we're allowed to do that. We're able to do that. So we start off with forgiveness for those people, like what we talked about. It's hard to look at someone that you know murdered a baby. When you look at that, this is the little child. You just can't fathom that in your heart. And you're like, that's so terrible. But you look at someone who murders people, they just committed murder. And they'll cut their heads off and go home and said they was worthless. They didn't know what to do. So we look all over the world today and we understand that there's people like this that live in America. I'm not talking about murderers or anything like that. I'm talking about people that don't understand the Scripture. Have no idea because they've been taught something different their whole life. And we look into it and we go, I can't believe they're that ignorant. They can't understand this. What? Why are you so dumb? And you get so angry when you're trying to talk. It's because they've been brought up that way from the time they was a child until however they are right now. And that's what they've been taught and that's what they think is correct without reading the Word. So we understand that God's Word is God-breathed. God wrote this Word, not man. So you don't take this and change it and make it however you want to. And that's scriptures that we need to have to back us up when we go out and we have that fight in the world with Satan. And we say, this is what the Scripture says. Yeah, but that's the only place it says that there. No, it says it here, 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 and here. Like you said this morning. It's backed up. We don't need to just look at this one part and say, that's all there is to it. Because it says that, then this is what it is. You can find Scripture all over the Bible that helps you to make you feel good about yourself. But if you read and study ahead, or you go back a little ways and you look and go, that ain't what that meant. That meant this, not what I wanted it to mean. It means what it says, and it is what it says, and it says what it is. It's God's breathed words. We all need to understand that. We all need to worship God. We all need to care for Him more and more and more. I don't think I made the 45 minutes. I tried to right there. to make it full up. We got about 15 minutes left. Jeff, I won't hold you accountable. You don't have to sing the whole 15 minutes, all right? Thank everyone for coming out today, tonight. It was an honor. Like Charles said, we do miss Travis and wish him a safe trip back home also. We'll get up and sing the song of invitation. If anybody has anything, if anybody has thoughts, prayers, needs anything at all, if you don't know Christ that way where you understand he's got you covered, he's got your back, that he does tote your sins for you, come forward and we'll talk about it and make sure that you understand that more. So please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.